This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a lovely Friday here in Pittsburgh, and we are joined here in this segment by somebody who is not here in Pittsburgh, I believe. You're out in Houston, are you not, Lance Zierlein?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, of course, Lance, an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. And if you check out the NFL draft rankings on NFL.com, that is Lance's work there. He's pouring through all that stuff, and I guess you've come out from the from wherever it is you do all your tape room, your film room, and making the rounds here, Lance. We appreciate you dropping by today, and we do want to dig into this draft. Obviously, here in Pittsburgh, it's a big deal in a lot of places. And Matt and I have been doing some different rankings for Steelers.com, Lance, and the one thing that's kind of – a couple of things that have stood out to us. Obviously, the wide receiver position is deep. But one position that I don't think a lot of people have been talking about that is deep in this draft is the inside or off-ball linebacker position. I just see a lot of guys there that you know, two or three years ago, you just didn't see this many big guys that can run.
Athletes
at that position.
From an athletic standpoint, this is one of the most athletic drafts I've seen. I mean, and I think it gets to the fact that it used to be, man, I remember in the late 90s, I was here in Houston, just a young guy on the radio, and I started hearing about Danny Arnold, who was training people, and he trained Sean Rogers, Casey Hampton. Haloti Ngata was there. He came when he did. Charles Woodson, Peanut Tillman, like Derek Johnson. We're talking about future Hall of Famers or Hall of Famers. And they were all training here in Houston. And it used to be that it was, you know, the high-end players could get training. Now it's become everybody. Like everybody, if an agent has you, they are going to be paying for you to train. And I think more of these guys take it seriously. I think more of the agents convince the players. And this is kind of a separate – I understand it's kind of a separate answer. But I think it gets to the point of why we're seeing such explosive, talented, certainly athletic players across the board. But then especially at linebacker, the idea that you can play now with guys who are 230 pounds, and in some cases 220 pounds at linebacker, it's really opened the door for better athletes, teams to be much, much faster. And it's really added the amount of players that guys like the three of us can talk about linebackers now that we would have never talked about if they weren't over 240 pounds. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we see, you know, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. We would have never been taught. It would have been like, well, he's a tweener. He's a hybrid. We don't know what he is. He's not going to be able to play linebacker. But now it's at 221 pounds, 223 pounds. I don't even really blink at that anymore because I know for a fact that Darius Leonard at some points has played around 218, 219 pounds, and he plays really good football. So I think that's one of the reasons why we see more and more we're getting to deeper and deeper linebacker cores now. Every single year we're seeing – it may not always be as talented, certainly not as the one we saw like 3 years ago, but because more and more players are able to be considered to that position, it's turning into a position where there's more depth now for sure.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, Lance. And I think this is probably more of a day two situation for the Steelers, especially with the depth at the second level. But what would you think of Zaven Collins or Jamin Davis next to Bush with a first-round pick?
I love it. And to be honest with you, I've got a higher grade on Zaven Collins,
do you?
But not by a lot. Jamin Davis doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a really good tackler. And when I watch both guys play and I start thinking about who looks more like a Steeler linebacker, I'm kind of starting to come around on the fact that maybe Davis is the guy that kind of has a better vibe as a Steeler linebacker. There's a lot of talk about Zaven Collins as a pass rusher, but to be honest with you, I just thought he was easy to find. He kind of went down the middle on everybody, and mm-hmm. he wasn't very elusive, very quick. I mean, I think Owusu Karamoah is a better blitzer and more impactful from that standpoint. I think Davis has a chance to be in that regard as well, and I like Zaven Collins. But I think as a Steeler linebacker, I kind of like Davis maybe a little bit more for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And talking about Jamie Davis out of Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a really interesting draft class there, and I like a lot of those guys. Lance, I know your dad is an offensive line coach. I know that's you know where a lot of your you probably grew up watching film with your dad, so you know a lot more about that than most people. The offensive tackle class in this draft is obviously very deep as well, but so is I think the center position. How do you kind of stack that up?
Yeah, I like it. The interior line position in general, I like a lot. I think it's very underrated across the board. I love Landon Dickerson. Problem with Landon Dickerson is he's had injuries on three different years. But in terms of, you know, this is maybe one of the great football character guys in this draft. Just someone who everyone in the room loves, someone who's tough, he's dependable. He's got a great personality that I think is needed on a team. It can't always be heavy. It's got to be light sometimes. And that's what he's able to do. They say he brings that same energy to the practice field every week. I mean, as far as the football is concerned, the size, the talent, Landon Dickerson is an easy first rounder. The problem gets into the medicals. And certainly it doesn't help his case that the medicals were already, you know, considered to be a potential issue that you'd have to keep an eye on. And then he gets hurt, you know, in the playoffs. And so now it's even, you know, it's an even bigger concern, I think, right now with him. Quinn Miners out of Wisconsin Whitewater, another player who I really love at center along with Creed Humphrey. I think Creed is solid. I think Quinn Miners is good. I think Landon Dickerson has a chance to kind of be transformative in an offensive line room, in a meeting room. So those are three guys right there. And then you start talking about players who could potentially shift to centers, like to the center position, Robert Hainsey from Notre Dame, who I don't particularly care for as a tackle, but all of a sudden when you're talking about as a center, it's a different conversation. David Moore out of Grambling, big physical guy. When I say big, he's like 6'1", but he's 330, just built.
Yeah,
like
he's a bowling ball.
Oh, I mean, just rock solid and tremendous strength. And he really looked good as a center at the Senior Bowl. Josh Myers, big, broad player at senior. So if you need a senior, I mean, if you need a center, and Michael Manette out of Penn State, you know, I'm a fan. I think he's going to be a starter in the league fairly early. I think you can find easily five, you know, four who can step in and start right away, and then six or seven who are going to be starters in the league at that position.
Yeah, another guy that Matt and I have talked about that kind of role is Kendrick Green out of Illinois.
Great call. And you know, he's a guard center. And right now I'm looking at my rankings and I've got him. No, I switched him over to center. You know, I've got him as a 6'2", which is typically more of a third round pick, third, fourth. He's going to go in three, I think. And, yeah, great quickness. Like him better as a center than a guard. Really, really quick on the zone stuff. I think he's got decent strength if you put him at center position. But that's another one that I like a lot. You guys called that one too because he's got guard center flexibility, which makes him even more valuable.
Yeah, I think Humphrey, Dickerson, and Meinertz could really be in play with the Steelers' second pick, you know, mid,
yep,
late second round. And to me, there's a little bit of a tier after those guys, although it is a deep crew. I think tackle's going to be more of a project guy, though. You know, I know you have a lot of tackles you like. It seems like a deeper class than usual. I mean, I think they can find, you know, a guy for tomorrow in the fourth round or so. Is there some names there you like?
Yeah, so that's, you know, I'm with you on that, and I think this is unusual because usually you have your high-end guys, you know, if you want a player, you're going to have to get them inside the top 15.
Right.
And then after that, it's a little bit of a, you know, it's a little bumpier, and then there's nothing after the second round, you know, maybe in the third. This year, I've got some guys I like. Like, I'm not as high on Penei Sewell as everyone else. I really like Slater, but I like Tevin Jenkins. But, you know, once you get past that first round, tier into more of the second round. There's a guy named Stone Forsythe.
I thought you were going to bring him up. I've heard you on podcast.
Yeah, I bring up Stone because he's a more athletic version of Max Starks, because he was a big, you know, Max Starks is big and lumbering, and you didn't think he could play, but there he is playing left tackle and winning a Super Bowl. Stone Forsythe is a better, he's 330 pounds, 6'7", which is, you know, Max Starksy, but he's a better athlete than Max was. I think Sam Cosmi gets beat up a little too much. I think he's going to end up playing in the league and being a starter. Spencer Brown from Northern Iowa. He's played right tackle at Northern Iowa, but he's got the athleticism to play right or left. He's very tall. But, you know, to me, from a comp standpoint, he's got some Villanueva to him. So I think that, you know, it's interesting. I just mentioned two Steeler comps with two different types of tackles. But I think that is the case. I think there are guys that have there's a guy named Josh Garda Marshall, who's one of the more talented tackles in the draft, but he's got some, you know, character concerns and character issues, but might be a guy that teams will look at later in the draft. But he's got the talent to be an NFL starter. So, yeah, there are, for the first time, I think once you get into the third round, you're still going to have some guys that you could consider to be starters, future starters in the league for sure.
Lance, how do you look at a guy like a Walker Little, who really hasn't played football in 2 years?
Yeah, that's hard. You know, he didn't play this year. He opted out. Which you understand, it was a Pac-12 situation. It's, you know, that came back later than everything else. And I understand that. 2018, there's nothing he could do about 2019. He hurt himself in the middle of the first game of the year. I was disappointed he didn't go compete at the Senior Bowl. I think that was a mistake. I think he needed to show who he was and what he could do. And look, he had a good pro day workout, and that's fantastic. But people want to see him with pads on, taking on other guys with pads on. And so when I wrote him up, I had to use all of his 18 tape, and I used his one game from 19, all the reps he had in that one. I think he got hurt in the third quarter. And you're talking about making we're almost having to make projections based on 18 tape, which is outlandish, because offensive linemen get bigger, stronger. They grow into, you know, they become true men.
Yeah, I mean, he was a sophomore in 2018. He's 19, 20 years old. Now he's a 22-year-old man.
Well, and imagine this. His biggest issue is play strength. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. And so it's very tough. It's a very tough projection. I've got to look at the athletic qualities. I've got to see if there was some growth from 18 to 19 from a strength standpoint, and that's very difficult to figure out. And you're walking in blind with this. I mean, he might be a second round pick. I think he goes in the second, but that could end up being a huge bust in the second. It's a very tough call, and that's on top of whether or not, you know, you're okay with his medicals.
Lance, I've heard some of you national guys, DJ, Todd, Mel, all those guys saying, obviously, this was a really strange scouting year, and more so than ever, I know there's communication between a lot of you guys and teams, that the teams are asking you guys for advice as opposed to the other way around sometimes, more this year.
You know, I can't really speak. I mean, I speak to some people in the league where we give, you know, opinions mm-hmm. on players, and I've had people do that in other years. A lot of times coaches will – I've got a relationship with coaches who like to have me as kind of a sounding board. They want to know my opinion on players at their position group, because that's kind of, you know, they don't talk to scouts as much. So, and they may trust me because I've known them for years or whatever the case may be. But I found it to be a little different. I found that the teams are much more quiet. I had my conversations with different people earlier in the year, but I found that the last 6 weeks has gotten very quiet around the NFL circles with teams that I talk to, and at least some of the primary guys I talk to, it's been a lot more quiet, and it's a really difficult year because you don't have boots on the ground to go into these schools and get the information you need on the people. Like, who are these right. players as people? What do you think of these players as people? You're getting less of that personal information on them to create your draft profile than years past in the NFL. And so I do think there are, you know, I do think because there's not a set group think out there amongst the scouting community when they're on the road, some of it's developing with some of the pro days because guys are out there together now. But because of that, that's one of the reasons why you've had you know, probably more conversations between some of the draft guys that put a lot of tape in, you know, put a lot of time in watching tape, and some of the people who work at NFL teams who trust some of those guys, or at least trust their opinion, where they're willing to have a back and forth. So it's tough. I've watched more 2019. Never have I watched more tape in the year before the current year. Like, I've never done that before. And I have to watch 2019 now because there's just not enough games for a lot of these players, and there's not enough games against top-level competition.
Our guest is Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. He's their draft analyst here. You're listening to The Drive. You mentioned that 2019 tape, and one of the guys who's one of the more interesting guys to figure out in this first round, I think he's a first-round guy, and, you know, 3 weeks ago or even, you know, 2 weeks ago, he was probably considered one of the top 10 to 15 players in the draft, and now all of a sudden you see his stock dropping a little bit, is Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech. What do you think about him, and where do you see him going in this draft?
I think he could fall out of the first, could go back into the first or fall out. It's purely on medicals. He has had an ACL in his background. He is going to have a back surgery, his agent says he should be back in time for camp. But anytime you tell an NFL team, and by the way, I didn't mention to you guys, there is a previous back injury on his docket as well. So when you start talking about, well, I got a player here with an ACL tear in his background, two back injuries, one of them that's going to require surgery right now, and he opted out and didn't play football this year, and he's a former offensive player with just 2 years at the cornerback position. Man, that's a lot to get through. That's a lot to get through for a first-round pick. I think he would have been right there, no worse than the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think he would have fallen past there. And who knows? He may still not. But right now the concern is it's just too many concerns about medical. Now, one team told me, I said, what do you do with them now? And they said, well, we wait and see how his medical checks out with us in April when we have the medical combine. We'll see what we see, and we'll make our determination of what we want to do with them from a draft standpoint there. So talent-wise, he's a first-rounder, trait, speed, all that stuff, size. But when you start dealing with unknowns in medical, nothing will make a guy drop faster, especially when you have such little time to really dig in and find out what's going on.
So I assume you think Horn and Surtain will go ahead of him. Do you think Newsom is probably going to, you know, get the nod over him as well? How about any of the other corners, the Kentucky guy or the Georgia dudes or any of those guys?
Yeah, I think Newsom will, and I think there's an outside chance Eric Stokes from Georgia, who had a great workout. I mean, a really good
workout.
I think there's a chance that Eric Stokes can too. I don't see Kelvin Joseph going in the first round from Kentucky, although you never know with cornerbacks who have some size and some ball skills. I think Farley will go ahead of, you know, Kelvin Johnson. I think he'll go ahead of Tyson Campbell, who's the other Georgia corner, who I actually like a little more than Stokes as a player. But, you know, once again, it's all going to be predicated on the medical. If people are okay.
Sure.
If one team is okay with this medical, he'll go in the first. I mean, he's that talented. But if not one, when I say okay, I mean, they've got to have no doubts. But if they do have doubts, they're going to have to back off because it's just too big a concern when you still have some talented players in the first round. So I think Horn is second, Surtain is first, and I think Greg Newsom is third. I feel pretty good that it's going to lock in that way.
We're going to ask you, put you on the spot here now, Lance, and put you in the Steelers draft room. It's round one. The 24th pick is rolling around here. Who are you leaning towards here for the Steelers?
I mean, I need to know what the board looks
well,
like.
Well, yeah, there's that. Okay, let's
make it a little easier.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
I've looked at what the Steelers have, and I've looked at the – so I go through with contingencies for every team. And I think based on Steeler needs, like I think they could get a good linebacker potentially, but I'm not sure one's going to still be on the board. And Micah Parsons is a guy with some character concerns. Based on the hazing stuff that jumped off. There's some teams that are really, really worried about him. But that guy is just ultra-talented. If he were to slide and fall, and I talked to my dad about this. I said, how do the Steelers handle character stuff? And he gave me the lowdown on in the draft room what it's like. And how the Rooneys are brought in and involved, and they're the ones who say if it's yes, if it's a no, then it's a no, and the guy's off, and that's that. So that's going to happen with everyone who has character issues, and it's up to Kevin Colbert and his staff to paint the picture of exactly what you're dealing with this player here is the issues, and then, you know, in the past, the Rooneys have decided whether or not he could stay on the board. You know, Karamosa, I think any of the top three linebackers would have to be in consideration. And when I say top three, Collins, you know, Parsons Davis. For me, one, Karamosa, two, three is Javon Collins. I think those three, but to me, Jamin Davis, who we also talked about, another consideration. So if one of those four were there, I probably would pull the trigger on that. But depending on how the draft played out and if guys started to fall at some different positions, that's a good spot where that could be a trade-out spot again, especially for a team who might be desperate for cornerback. You might be able to get a little bit of a big bump to be able to move back into the second round. So I think that's a trade back situation, or grab one of those four linebackers. One of them will be available, I think, for sure.
It's funny you brought that up, because we often talk trade back on the show because there's a lot of needs, maybe pick up an extra pick. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about, I think Najee Harris is very much in play. I mean, Javonte Williams, ATN.
I think they should be.
Yeah.
I think they should be. ATN, I mean, I've heard Steeler fans came after me for putting I can't remember one time I had either ATN or I put Landon Dickerson there. I think Landon would be awesome for the Steelers culture. But yeah. Once again, it's a physical thing. It, you know, you got to check the medicals. But, Matt, so much is made of the idea with analytics. And it's not like Steelers are just going to rely heavily on just analytics. So much is made of you just don't draft running backs in the first. Let me tell you something. Najee Harris and ATN and Javonte Williams can make that Steeler running game much better. I don't care who's up front.
Yeah, we had Greg Cosell on a few weeks ago, and he said, look, the quickest way to fix your running game is to have a great running back. Pretty simple.
You got four guys. Ben and Snell. I mean, listen, the Steelers have too many slow guys, and I wasn't a fan of who they got last year from Maryland. I think these guys are studs, all three of the ones we talked about, and it is a big drop to number four. So if I'm the Steelers – and, you know, and that might be a trade-back situation into the early second where Najee Harris and Javonte Williams are still on the board at 34. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so would you rather have
that? We've been huge proponents of that, Lance.
Hell yeah, that's what I would rather have.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, of course, you got to find a trade partner. That's the whole long and short of it, and that's sometimes easier said than done. Lance, we don't want to hold you up here any longer. I know you got a lot of stuff to do and probably have other radio shows to do, but we appreciate you stopping by here with us and discussing the draft here. Maybe we can catch you next year at the Combine. Hopefully there's one of those things going on.
Yeah. Hopefully, and it's good talking to you guys. I should have known with Matt, or we'd be able to actually, you know, talk about play. I didn't have to just answer a bunch of Justin Fields questions. Matt Jones.
We dig a little bit deeper than that, Lance. Yeah, we dig a little bit deeper.
Guys not getting drafted in the first. That's incredible.
All right, we're going to let you go here. Matt and I are going to chat about what you had to say, but we appreciate your time. That was Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. Of course, you can check him out, follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein, Zierlein. He's always great
easy
to follow. Easy to find out there.
Not easy to spell.
Great guy. I've been following his stuff for years. And, of course, his dad was Steelers offensive line coach. Know him as well. So good stuff
from
Lance.
My year with the Browns was with Coach Zierlein, too.
Yeah, so there you go. But great to have him on the show. We appreciate him dropping by. And interesting stuff there.
Yeah, real interesting stuff. And I've been a big fan of Lance's work. And he and I actually used to do a podcast sort of regularly as guests with Sigmund Bloom, Football Guys. And always had great back and forth. And I listen to him now all the time, too. Really knows offensive linemen, but certainly isn't, you know, limited to that, too. I mean, he's written, 300 profiles or something?
Oh, probably more than that. I mean, if you go to NFL.com and look up on their draft board, all the prospect write-ups on there are and grades are from Lance. Obviously, he has.
You go to previous years are all from Lance, too.
We really didn't talk about the top of the board stuff there, as he mentioned.
Right.
He has Lawrence as number one.
Sure.
Obviously, everybody does. He has Pitts as number two.
I would as well.
He only has five guys in this draft with a grade of seven or more.
Seven's a huge number for them. That's an elite grade.
So it's Lawrence, Pitts, Devontae Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, and Patrick Surtain.
Okay.
Those are his top guys. And Parsons comes in at 6'8", 9".
They mentioned Parsons, too.
Yeah. I mean, he has Owosu-Koramoa at 6'8", 6'8", 2", so not far behind.
I thought it was interesting when you asked him, you know, for the first round with the Steelers, there are going to be some linebackers, including JOK, Davis, Collins. I don't think Parsons is even in the
mix. He's not going to be in the conversation.
Those three would be in the conversation. They're tempting.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are.
Yeah, they are going to be in, as I mentioned, with Farley as well. Man, that's a tough.
Boy, you'd love to have Farley, those three, and the three backs, and trade to 35 and just get whoever's there.
Yeah, even if you have to go, you know, okay, we can only go back to 28 and get
whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it would be.
Sure.
If you get to that point and there's seven or eight guys, again, the way the Steelers will do this is they'll have a 24-man board.
Because
they pick 24th.
If there's
you know, 10 of those guys still available, then you can easily trade back to.
Especially if it's three of them are running backs. I mean,
they're not all going to go.
Five teams may be considering a running back early in this draft, and most of them have huge other needs.
Yeah,
Jets,
so
Miami, you know.
Yeah, going to be interesting. I can't wait. I mean,
I'm glad he mentioned trade back though. We mentioned that a lot.
We're 3 weeks out now from day two.
I think two.
2 weeks out from day two of the draft. Today's April 9th. Yeah, I think it's No, it's the end of the month. 3 weeks.
Three weeks
out from the end of the month. I can't wait.
No, right. It's going to be good stuff.
Because then after the draft, we get to see football for real again.
We actually go see, hopefully see rookie
practices
and all that stuff,
all
right?
All that good stuff, yeah.
And optimism abound across the NFL.
Everybody's going to be happy. Couldn't believe this guy was available. Believe that guy was available. Right. Really happy with our draft. Nobody's ever walked in and said, man, we screwed that up.
And Lance has been around it his whole life. I mean, he kind of said it without saying it, too. He mentioned medicals quite a few times.
Yeah.
He mentioned character a couple of few times. You know, that, boy, we can't imagine. Fans are like, how did that guy fall to the third round? Well, there's some things.
There's medicals. There's character.
Right. Maybe you don't want him in your building.
Maybe you just don't have a whole lot of information on the guy.
But there's going to be a lot of that this year, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some.
Some ties are going to be broken.
Some leaps of faith.
More. Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Which will be interesting. When we look back in this draft 5-10 years from now, we might be like, everybody liked this guy in the fourth round. He ended up being a 5-time Pro Bowler, but there just wasn't much information. So you took someone at his position ahead. You know, the tie comes down to the two, they took this one. You know, the tie comes down to the two, you take that one. And that guy falls. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen this year, maybe more so than any year previously because of that, not having that combine information. But interesting stuff from Lance. We appreciated him stopping by. But that's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, a couple of, on this segment, I wanted to go over a couple of NFL.com articles that are out there. The first one is by Greg Rosenthal, and he has the AFC roster reset, the conference hierarchy heading into the 2021 draft.
Okay. We got as a couple, they sit pre-draft.
Yeah, we said, we're about 3 weeks out. Free agency is largely.
Yeah, there'll be some
right
fill
now.
In the gap guys, but right, I mean, the big dogs have landed.
Yeah, it's largely on hold now until after the draft. So what you know, this is what based on what people's rosters are right now. So he has two teams above everybody else in the AFC.
Okay,
that would be Kansas City and Buffalo.
I wouldn't argue that one bit. I'm not sure Kansas City's better. I feel like they
don't have any tackles right now.
Right.
That's a bit of an issue.
They're a powerhouse, don't get me wrong. But I think there's a chance we could look back at Kansas City and say, wow, I'm surprised they only won one. You know, like, there's teams creeping up on them. Things don't last like
they
the
don't
New England,
last long. I mean,
you know,
if you think back about it, like in 2010, the Packers win the Super Bowl. They beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. This is just the first of many for Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is like Mahomes.
And they've competed pretty much every year. Rodgers has gotten hurt a couple
years. Sure, they're going to be good.
But they've been good, and they've been competitive, but they haven't gotten back to that Super Bowl. And Rodgers was that kind of talent, the same kind of talent as Mahomes.
Without question. And the obvious example, I've never seen – I mean, I'm 47 years old. The only quarterback that I've seen storm the league like Mahomes is Marino. I mean, he was the same way, different style, but setting records as rookies and things like that.
Again, he Super Bowl first, you know, first, and then never again.
Montana and Marino are going to go every year. Well, one of them kind of did. it's tough.
So,
but the Bills are legit.
The Bills are legit. There's no doubt about that. His grouping of teams then after that, he has two teams at playoffs or bust.
Okay.
Baltimore and Cleveland.
I think Baltimore's earned that. I don't know that Cleveland has.
I don't know that Baltimore is a better team right now than they were last year.
I think they're worse.
I think they're a worse team than they were.
I do, too.
Their only upgrade has been
Zeitler
at guard. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, I mean, yeah, they've kept everything else. The secondary is still the same. It's still very good.
They haven't lost a lot.
Yeah.
The edge guys, they've lost a couple. Judon and Ndokwe.
They didn't upgrade at wide receiver.
Sammy Watkins has to play.
Right.
I mean,
and even at that,
he's not the superstar that he was. You know,
and they don't have any edge rushers.
No, many edge rushers. No. They do have a lot of second year players. You know, they have a lot of draft guys that should get better. But I don't think this is the case. Has the league, well, from a year ago, the league has figured out their offense more than it did one year ago.
Yeah.
You know, you'd see a lot
it
more.
It was not nearly as explosive last year as it had been.
No. And is Orlando Brown going to be back? I mean, are they going to have to, he still could go.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the Browns. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I like what they've done. I think they're a better team than when we saw last. They added some defensive pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, again, they've got some more holes to fill as well.
I think they need an edge rusher opposite Garrett. I think that'll be their first-round pick.
Yeah.
It's funny, and now that you said that, we did a segment with Lance Zierlein who mentioned 24 might be a good trade-back spot. I could see somebody wanting to come and get Jalen Phillips or – Owe or Quiddy Pay to get ahead of Cleveland.
Yeah, you know? Right. Absolutely. Then he has the teams listed as playoff contenders. It's Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, the Chargers. Obviously, these are not in alphabetical order.
Right, right.
The Titans, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Raiders.
I don't disagree with that. It's a pretty big tier. I might split that up into two tiers.
It's a big tier, and I think if you look at that from the top four teams and then the next four teams.
Yeah, I'd say the Raiders to me is...
Yeah, your top four teams are the Colts, Steelers, Chargers, Titans.
Yes, agreed.
And then the next...
I don't know where I'd put the Patriots.
Yeah, the next tier is Dolphins, Patriots, Broncos, Raiders.
Broncos and Raiders are clearly the last two for me.
Yeah.
And really, Miami, I mean, quarterback.
Yeah.
Indy... Quarterback, you know, I mean, if you can tell me Rivers or Wentz is going to play
Patriots
as well as
quarterback,
Patriots quarterback, you know, right.
Broncos quarterback,
Broncos huge quarterback,
yeah.
I like the Chargers out of that group a lot.
I mean, really, if you look at it from a consistency standpoint, the Steelers, Chargers, Titans, and Raiders are all pretty set at quarterback. You know what they're going to get from at
you think, yeah, right.
And then the other four teams are all like question marks at the biggest position on the on the field.
The Steelers have a little bit of a parachute too with their defense. You know, if things go wrong, they can grind out tight games and things like that. And I think
that's
Denver's
the thing.
Got a little bit of that.
There seems to be this feeling among Steelers Nation that the Steelers defense has been gutted in free agency.
Right. I don't understand that.
Yes,
they lost two starters.
Bud Dupree is a loss, but they knew that was going to happen.
This has been prepared for, right?
Steven Nelson, they cut him.
They cut him. They cut Vince Williams, too.
They cut Vince Williams. Right. Vince Williams played, you know, 50%, 60% of the snaps last year. They got Alualu back. That was one of the ones that people were panicking over. He played 45% of the snaps last year. Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was a full-time player.
Bush returns.
Losing Mike Hilton, to me, you didn't have Mike Hilton for large stretches last year.
I'd rather have Sutton on the field.
And I'd rather have Sutton.
Yeah, I mean... Depth worries me.
Depth was a concern last year.
I was going to say, you and I were very concerned. What's your biggest concern about the Steelers going in? We both said defense depth.
Who's the backup inside linebacker? Who's the backup outside linebacker?
Right.
These are the same questions we're asking now.
Third
we still
safeties.
think the, The defensive line is the same group that was there last year.
Oh, yeah. They've Cam got, and Hewitt and Alulu will be fine. Yeah.
And they've got some depth there. I think you're going to get more out of Wormley in his second year. And the other guys played last year, so you have a better idea of that. You're going to have to find a backup inside or inside backer.
Maybe a starter.
Maybe a starter.
Right.
You got to find a backup outside linebacker.
Yeah. A third safety, maybe not a corner.
Yeah. I mean, but these are things that they were going into last year looking for, and then all of a sudden, you know, right before they signed Sean Davis at the end of training camp. They found ways to fill those depth spots.
There's five or six veterans out there that I was looking the other day that you could get really cheap right now. Like a name I texted you, sign Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Give him $3 million, be your third outside linebacker.
Give us 10 to 15 rushes a game.
That's it. And be a leader in a young room. You know, you've been around the block. There's a lot of those type of guys that they'll fill in those blanks. I do think, though, you got an extra game. Depth is going to be tested.
Depth is going to be tested. There's
not
no doubt.
To take lightly.
But a defense that includes Hayward, Watt, Tuitt, Fitzpatrick, Hayden. This is still a very good defense, folks.
Yeah, I mean, all your fantasy drafts, this might be the first defense taken. They've led the league in sacks, what, 3 years in a row?
Yeah,
you know, that's not.
They get takeaways.
Drafts,
you know,
right.
There's a lot there to like. So for people thinking that Steelers defense is suddenly going to go to being 20th in the league,
right?
Get out of here.
Or even mediocre.
Yeah, get out of here. It's still going to be a top 10 defense.
Oh, I would definitely bet on that.
And I think the Chargers are a team that's on.
Yeah,
that's ascending.
First time head coach.
Yeah.
But I like what they're doing a lot.
Would you put money on the Chargers winning the AFC West?
If you gave me great odds,
They've closed the gap though a little bit.
They have,
and they did. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's
I
there.
Mean, if it's 4-1 or something like that, I mean, if it's a big payoff, I would put money on the Chargers to go to the playoffs. I mean, I think they're one of the top seven.
Yeah.
I think only one comes out of the South.
Yeah, I think the South's bad. Gonna
I
be
think
bad.
South's bad.
Right? I mean, when you're
great.
The Colts and you're betting on Carson Wentz, there's a reason why the Colts, the Titans, they're in this grouping.
Oh, yeah.
Those are your top two teams in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were in any other division, I don't know if they make the playoffs.
I mean, I'm not predicting this, but I mentioned it off the air. I might put $10 on the Jags to win that division because you'll get some kind of log odds.
Yeah. They're not going to finish last.
What if Wentz throws 25 picks? You know what I mean? Or
what if Wentz gets hurt?
Or if he gets
what's
hurt.
What's their backup plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The kid they drafted last year?
It would be Eason, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not very good.
See, I think Tennessee took a big step back.
And I think Tennessee's got issues, yeah. So then you're looking at uphill battle to the playoffs. And they might as well say no chance in hell of making the playoffs. That would be the Jets, Bengals, Jaguars, Texans.
The Texans are the worst of that group. I mean, we haven't talked much about the Watson situation, but at a minimum, he's going to be suspended, don't you think?
I would think, yeah.
I mean, he's going to miss some time. And even if he plays, he's not happy there to begin with. And he was remarkable last year, but I don't know how they win three games.
At this point, for him, he almost has to play for the Texans this year.
And put up good tape.
And put up good tape and say, okay, look, this is all behind me now.
Right.
This is who I am on the field. You know,
I mean, if he doesn't play a snap, they're going to pick first.
Yeah.
If he plays a snap, they might win five.
Yeah, they might pick fifth.
Right, maybe. if he's Superman.
They've signed a bunch of table scraps and
they're
hoping to turn
it
into a five-course meal, and that's just not going to happen.
No, new coach. I mean, it's bad.
And the Bengals, you know, they've done some good things, but they were starting. They were starting from so low that, you know, they basically blew it up.
Right.
I think the
Bengals and Jets are going in the right direction.
This is what happens when you quote unquote blow it up. Just blow it up and start over.
It's a nightmare.
It's a climb to get back out of that because everybody else can sign free agents and draft people too. It's not
you're not
the only team.
I mean, Miami's starting to climb out of theirs. The Browns have finally climbed out.
Miami's climbing out of it because they got fortunate that some teams decided, hey, we're going to, you know, give you the Texans.
Well, they were lucky the Texans stunk.
Yeah. The Texans say, hey, we're going to give you 17 draft picks for, you know, this guy.
And we're going to have a terrible year and give you the third pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Which is very helpful. I mean, they're very quarterback dependent, too.
Yeah.
You know.
So, it's interesting. But
Jacksonville's the team of that group I would have the highest hope for this year.
First time head coach at the NFL level.
I mean, I'm talking like six wins though.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous when first of all, you've left every other coaching job that you've ever had because it's been too stressful. Now you're going to take on an NFL team where the players, you got players who are making as much, if not more, than you, and you got to try to massage those egos. It's a different game.
That is a different game. And Lawrence could be the savior.
But he could also go out there in his first year like Peyton Manning or Troy Aikman,
how many
throw 25 interceptions.
Had a really rough first year. Or even Joe Burrow. Burrow was great. How many games did Cincinnati win last year? Four?
Yeah.
You know?
Before he got killed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, can he last the whole 17? And it's tough.
It's tough, yeah. Interesting, though, that that's how they break out, how things come out right now. We'll see what that's like after the draft.
I disagree with much of it, though.
No, no.
You know, right.
But, again, the people saying that the Steelers are well, they've got no chance of making the playoffs, and this is
– 7 of those 16 are going to the postseason.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure those last four you mentioned aren't going to be one of them, so 7 of those 12 are going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your chances.
Take your chances. Daniel Jeremiah put out his mock draft part three, his third one.
I want to throw something out there because yesterday I was listening to Evan Silva's podcast, and the whole podcast was on making bets, draft prop bets. And they had this expert on who's broken down mocks for like the last 10 years. And they asked him, I'm like, who's the most predictive guy out there? And they're like, used to be Mayock. Now it's Jeremiah by a light years, you know, like, and DJ always says he mocks with his ears. He does his 50 with his eyes. So this is just what he's hearing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of proof for these people that really put time into it, that if he's hearing these things, I bet he's not as far off as most mocks.
He has, he does have a little note here at the top of his mock. He said, this mock is a projection of where I believe players will go.
Right, what he's hearing.
Not necessarily a reflection of my opinion as to where players should go.
Right, I bet he has Mac Jones going third, but he has Mac Jones like his 32nd best player.
Right, yeah.
That's a perfect example, right.
Okay, so he has Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Mac Jones 3.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance 4.
See, I just did a mock, too, and I put a quarterback there. I didn't do any trades. So I think there's a real good chance, or a chance Atlanta takes a quarterback. I think it's a 50-50 conversation. But I think it's a better than 50% chance a quarterback goes there.
It's interesting as well, just this week, both Fields and Lance said that they're going to have a second pro day.
Yeah.
Now, Lance didn't run at his pro day.
Right.
We know
probably
that he's
regretting that.
We know that he's fast.
Oh, sure.
We just don't know how fast.
Because Fields did run.
Because Fields did run, and he was fast.
He was real fast. 4.44.
4.44 fast.
Yeah.
So you may see.
They might be fighting it out.
Yeah, you may see that. So that's why that's happening now. Like, all of a sudden, with everybody saying that the 49ers are going to take Jones 3, mm-hmm. now you got Fields and Lance going, well, I don't want to be 5.
I mean, DJ saying they're going to take Jones at 3, and Schefter saying they're going to take Jones at 3. Schefter's not wrong very often.
Not about something like that, yeah.
No.
But
they know who they're taking.
Yeah.
They're not, it's still not up in the air for them. They know.
Right. So, you know, I mean, the difference between being the fourth quarterback taken and the fifth quarterback taken could be 10 spots.
Could be. It's certainly some money.
Could be at least 5 spots.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that's, you know, with everything slotted in there, the difference between those 5 spots is $4 or $5 million
yeah,
in signing
right,
bonus,
right,
that kind of stuff.
It's worth running another 40 for that.
Yeah. I'll go
on
run 40.
Run
yeah.
a 40 for a couple million. It's funny, too. Mike Lombardi, who's also dialed in, he's been reporting the last couple of days that Washington is really considering going all in for that 4 spot. I mean, they'd have to give up a lot.
They would have to give up a lot, but they don't have a quarterback.
They don't have a quarterback. Yeah. And if it doesn't mean, if it's just draft picks, you don't have to give up Chase Young. That'd be a great landing spot.
Yeah, and everybody was talking about Carolina, you know, potentially being that team that moves up. Now that they've traded for Sam Darnold,
yeah, go pound salt.
So now maybe you trade up with Carolina to get that fifth quarterback.
Potentially, I mean, once if someone goes at 4, I think a quarterback will go at 4.
Yeah,
either to Atlanta, Denver, New England.
So
Washington.
Any of the spots between, I mentioned Lance goes 4th here on Jeremiah's. Any of the spots between 5 and 8.
Could be open for
could
business,
be a quarterback. Yeah, could be a
as
sponsor.
Soon as Atlanta makes a deal,
right,
or makes a pick.
So he has Cincinnati taking Kyle Pitts.
I would take Pitts over Sewell. I don't know if you agree with that. Chase would be my third pick of those three for Cincy.
He has the Dolphins in at 6 taking Jamar Chase.
Understandable.
Yeah,
both those teams just sit back and get a great non-quarterback.
Yeah, at 7, the Lions take Justin Fields. And he says this could be a trade spot with some teams picking.
Get ahead of Denver.
Yeah, get ahead of Denver. And
I don't know if Denver can sit at 8 and get the 5th quarterback.
They're at 9.
They're at 9. Okay. Yeah. Who's 8?
Carolina.
Oh, right. Okay.
Carolina at 8 takes Rashawn Slater.
I say Carolina sets up really well, too, that they're going to get a great non-quarterback.
How about that? He has Slater going at 8.
That's how I'd take Sewell, though.
Sewell goes at 9 to Denver.
Okay. I would take Sewell before Slater.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, he's had Slater ranked ahead of him from the beginning.
At 10, he has the Cowboys taking Kwity Paye.
Hmm. You always see Surtain there.
Yeah.
But something on defense makes sense.
11 is Devontae Smith to the Giants.
I don't know that they would do that. Well, I guess if Slater and Sewell are gone, they just signed Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
I mean, they have other needs. I think that's most likely an O-lineman, but maybe it's a defensive player. I guess Pay's gone in this one, too.
Yeah, right.
They need edge.
At 12, Philadelphia takes Surtain, first cornerback off the board.
I bet he goes earlier than that, but
I would think
understandable.
So. At 13, the Chargers take J.C. Horn. Little cornerback around here.
I love where they sit. They could get Slater. They could get Horn. They could get
13's not a bad spot because all those quarterbacks are going to go ahead of you pushing some of these other guys down.
Take the best one left.
And they don't need a wide receiver.
But I think it wouldn't kill them.
Wouldn't hurt them to get one.
Smith or Waddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that for Herbert.
Or if Pitts would fall.
Right. We'll battle with the Chiefs the first one to 50. You know?
Yeah. At 14, he has the Vikings taking Jalen Phillips.
I think he's the best edge in this class. You always see Vera Tucker there. But if he's a guard, you can get a guard later. I mean, if he's truly a guard.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's a good player.
At 15, he has the Patriots taking Micah Parsons.
I can see that.
I don't know if I'd pass on Waddle, though, if I'm them. They have no offensive weapons.
He's so available, right? Parsons, his kind of linebacker, though.
Yeah.
Hightower, you know, big.
That would be a good pick for the Giants.
Who's that?
Parsons. Yeah.
They haven't drafted one since Carl Banks.
Yeah.
Right.
At 16, he has the Cardinals taking Waddle.
I can see that. I think they'd love Horn. I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah. They've got all kinds. I mean, they've got receivers like crazy.
They do, but can you count on A.J. Green? No. I don't know. They're coming on a team.
You got Hopkins, you got Kirk. They've got guys.
They're a hard team to mock for, if Horn's not there.
17, the Raiders take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Real quick, in my mock, I had Arizona taking Newsom. Just their corner needs pretty big.
Yeah. Owusu-Koramoah to the Raiders.
That's where I had him go, too.
Yeah.
He's a hard one to slot, but they need everything.
Yeah. The Dolphins take Gregory Rousseau.
Okay. I'm not big on Rousseau.
He did the 10-yard split on him was 1.57 seconds. So even though he didn't run a great 40.
By two strides.
Really. Yeah, he's quick out of his stance, boom, boom, he's there.
I didn't realize his
with the long arms.
Yeah. That's nice.
That adds up to why he gets so many sacks. I mean, he's...
Sure, he's on you. Yeah.
Quick.
That length.
It's like a big, long receiver that runs past cornerbacks. Well, he only runs a 4-5, but he's taken three strides and he's already,
It's like Mike Evans. Like, maybe he doesn't run great, but once he opens it up, you see those five-yard markers going by pretty quick
as
he's striding through them.
Washington, then, takes Elijah Vera Tucker.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I think Darisaw has a chance there. Jenkins, they could probably take just best offensive lineman available and plug him in somewhere in that front.
The Bears take Greg Newsom.
Fine, I mean, Fuller they cut, which they're kind of a mess.
The Colts then grab Darisaw.
I bet they'd be thrilled.
They would be absolutely ecstatic. The Titans, he has taking Farley.
It makes sense because they've waited on Jeffrey Simmons in the past, and their history shows that they will do that.
Yeah, very talented player.
And they've restructured their total pass defense. You know, Bud Dupree and Adoree Jackson's gone, and
At 23, he has the Jets taking Azeez Ojulari.
I think that will be a edge type guy.
Yeah,
I mean, you remember that's a Robert Saleh defense. Bosa, that's how they were built in San Francisco.
I know you're not as high on him, but...
I mean, there's a lot to like there.
He's my top, true 3-4 outside linebacker.
I'm not sure who all...
Because I don't think the other guys are... I think the other guys that you look at as those first-round type guys are more 4-3 ends. The two Miami guys, Kwity Paye.
Paye and Phillips are my favorite, too. And they're more 4-3 ends.
Yeah.
I'm not sure... I don't know... You might have said that about Bud coming out, too. I mean, at his weight. But he dropped some.
Yeah, he dropped in the car. I've been looking. I broke these down last night, dropped and put the rankings out today, my final rankings on the edge guys. So I went through and looked at how much everybody dropped.
Mm.
And that was a determining factor for me. And he dropped more than the other guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little lighter, too.
So.
No, I could see that being the Jets pick.
But I don't think he's not going to be. I don't think the Steelers are going that route in the first round.
I don't either.
Yeah. At 24, he has the Steelers taking Tevin Jenkins. All the running backs are available.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that plays a factor into this whole thing.
If there's three sitting there,
if all three are sitting there, then you start thinking, okay, maybe we can get one of the three at 55, or if we have to trade up a little bit.
Once two fall, we start to get aggressive.
But if none go ahead of them, then you go say, okay, we can take that chance and just take the best.
The guy with the highest grade on a position that's hard to find.
At a position of need, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't need a guard, but he could be. I mean, if Castro gets hurt in camp or something, I mean, he could also be a guard.
He's probably going to be one of your top five.
Right.
Somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Other than center.
And that has a lot of value.
That's the only problem, other than center.
Nice to be the center, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I just don't go tackle because the need
he's special enough.
Yeah, the need is at center because you don't. I mean, you got B.J. Finney.
With all respect to Tevin Jenkins, is he better than Banner or Chooks right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe, but I mean, he's a rookie.
At 25, he has the Jaguars taking Trevon Moehrig.
We've seen that a lot.
Yeah,
and their safeties were awful last year.
26, the Browns take Jamin Davis.
Hmm. Wouldn't love to see that. I think that's I always put an edge guy there, but that's their other.
That makes sense, yeah.
That makes sense. He's going to go in the first round.
At 27, the Ravens take Jason Owa.
Hmm. Maybe.
Yeah.
That doesn't really fit their. I mean, DJ knows better than I do. He used to work for the Ravens. But they take Terrell Suggs, who doesn't test well,
but had a bunch of sacks. Like, he knows how to get to the quarterback.
More than they
do
numbers, but he might know something.
The Saints at 28 take Asante Samuel Jr.
They could use a corner.
What is that? Five corners now in the first round.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a little more realistic than some of the other stuff that we've seen coming
out. Yeah.
Where
yeah,
two go
right.
or three go.
Yeah.
At 29, the Packers take Landon Dickerson.
They lost their center.
Yeah.
I mean, you always see corner or receiver there, but I don't know who that would be in this case.
Aaron Rodgers would like a center, too.
He wouldn't mind center. They've had a good one for a while. Yeah.
At 30, the Bills take Joe Tryon.
I can see that.
Joe Tryon creeping back up into the first round.
Yeah. And they have enough up front. They don't have to play that guy a lot. He could be a designated pass rusher, bring him along slow.
At 31, the Chiefs take Kelvin Joseph.
Wow.
That's six cornerbacks in the first round.
The guy had them taking Cosme, which made more sense to me. I mean, corners are valuable.
Yeah. And you do have the Chargers in your division.
Right,
you
right,
better
right.
Be good at
Denver's got some guys.
Denver's
too.
Got guys, yeah. At 32, then the Buccaneers finish off the first round with Elijah Moore.
Wow, Rich would get richer.
Rich would get richer. Maybe then they don't re-sign Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I would think you wouldn't at that point.
Yeah, and then
they could go almost any direction.
Yeah, I mean they got all 22 starters back from last year, so you know, and in that situation, no running backs in the first round,
which would be fine.
If you're the Steelers, you would like to see that. That would allow you.
If you stick and pick at 24 and all the backs are still available, yeah. Okay.
In that situation, if you do go tackle, then you're going running back in the second round for sure, and you may have to
But I'm only taking one of those three.
Yeah, and you may
I'm
have to.
I'm taking Sermon.
You may have to trade up to do it, or you might not. I mean, again, you'll have to wait and see what happens there early in round two.
Yeah.
To see if you have to pull the trigger.
Williams could fall.
Hey, man, one of the other two guys, ATN, could fall, or never know.
I mean, if it went this way, you pick 24th, three of those 23 would have to be running backs. Yeah. I mean, I could easily come up with 20 names that could go.
And then in round three, you're definitely probably looking at a Kendrick Green type as your center.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, there could be good linebackers there, too.
There could be good linebackers, but that's
one of the problems taking a tackle one.
Right, yeah. You could get a Walker Little and round two or three. You could get the Brown kid from
Northern Iowa
right. In round three.
Yeah.
You're not getting a great inside linebacker at that
spot. You're not going to get a running back.
You're not getting a running back.
The only back, and I'm starting to warm up to him a little, is Trey Sermon. He's definitely my four for the Steelers. I don't know if he would be on a generic board with Carter and Gainwell and those types. I could, if you told me, I can promise you Sermon will be there in the third round, which I don't know that you can. I don't think I'd use a two on him.
I'd take Ramondre Stevenson there, too.
Yeah, I think he's also in that mold. Like, if you miss out one of those two in the third round, but I'm not using my second on him.
No.
You know, he's not going to be there in fourth.
Yeah, once you get through round two, if none of those three guys are there, you're taking a pass in round two on a running back position.
And then you're really playing musical chairs, you know.
And hoping.
Yeah. You're waiting around and for him to fall.
Because it's a long way. It's a long drop to go from 55 down to 87. It's 32 picks.
I mean, you look around the league and say six teams need running backs and three of them already took them. Probably safe. You could see.
But
you
could see somebody else just take one? Hey, we're going to 17 games this year. We need to get somebody else.
Buffalo grabs one.
Our backup guy's making some money here. We can get cheaper at the position.
Mm-hmm. Or Miami or the Jets have a million picks, and we're like, oh, we can't believe he's there. We'll take one.
Yeah, we'll just take him. He's a good value.
Right.
So it's all based on that. Again, that's largely why I'm kind of shying away from
the tackle
position here.
I don't like the ripple effects.
No.
It's nothing against Tevin Jenkins.
Right. Good football player.
And first-round tackles make a lot of economic sense. I mean, you don't want to have to pay those guys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that works out as well for the big-picture draft.
Yeah. Well, we will do our mock draft.
All right.
Our Friday mock draft right after this. But we're going to take a break here. That'll do it for this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. For my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht, here on site, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It is mock draft time. We're running out of time on the mock drafts. We've done a lot of them.
20 days until draft.
Can't wait.
Moving along.
Can't wait. But we are drafting today off of Pro Football Focuses. I just like
we
the way.
We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. I like their interaction, and I found a thing on there that you can actually adjust it off of their rankings and go with more of a public opinion on this stuff. So the running backs don't get pushed down quite as far.
Because we're such in the running back market, it's just a little bit cheating knowing you can get guys later.
Yeah, take somebody else and get that guy in round two.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Najee Harris in the third.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay, so we're picking here at 24. They have trades.
Yeah, okay.
The picks right ahead of us. Zaven Collins went to Washington.
Makes that a little easier decision.
Samuel Cosmi went to the Bears. Micah Parsons falls all the way to the Colts.
Wow, that would have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Christian Barmore goes to the Titans. Gregory Rousseau goes to the Jets.
Okay. None of those break my heart.
No, not at all. So the top guys available, according to their rankings here, Trayvon Moehrig, Rashad Bateman, mm-hmm. Owosu-Koramoa still available.
That's an interesting conversation.
Elijah Moore, Greg Newsom, Jason
Newsom
Owa.
Newsom would be interesting to me.
Yeah. A bunch of tackles there, including Tevin Jenkins. Let's see.
What's your thoughts on JOK versus Jamin Davis? If you had to pick between, those two.
It depends on what team it is.
No, for the Steelers.
For the Steelers, I go with the bigger guy.
I want the length.
They're both rangy. There's no doubt about that.
But I don't want two short guys.
Yeah, I just don't want two small inside backers.
Yep.
You'd be really fast.
Right, but there's a lot of tight ends out there that are.
But Jamin Davis is really fast, too.
Right. Kyle Pitts might be in the division, you know, right.
Right, that would also, all of a sudden, hey, we got to find somebody that's going to be able to match up against that guy.
Exactly. And you already got Andrews.
Yeah.
And, you know.
The running backs, all three are still there.
Okay.
We have three trade offers.
Let's listen.
Let's see what's up there. So the Giants are on the clock, or they're on the phone. They have the 42nd pick. They got 42, 76, 116.
42 is a way to fall.
It's a way to fall from 24.
If Price is right, I'm listening.
Yeah, and if they want to give me 42 and 76, I would
think
listen.
About that for sure, yeah. Right.
Okay. We also have the Chargers on the phone. They have pick 47.
That's a long way.
They got 47, 77, 97, 118.
Okay. I'd rather talk to the Giants.
And then the Rams, Rams don't pick up the 57. We're not interested in that
right,
at all.
Unless they're offering Aaron Donald.
Yeah. So, do we want to go down to 20 from 24 to 42?
Is that the Giants?
That's the Giants.
I think you can get more than 76 for that.
See, here's the thing. The Giants have 42, 76, and then 116, whereas the Chargers have 47, 77, and 97 that they've acquired. Mm. It's a comp pick, third-round comp, and then they have 118.
My suggestion, when I was just thinking from a Giants perspective, I want 2, 3, and next year's three.
Do you think
that's too risky?
See if they take it.
That's a long way to drop at a premium spot in the draft.
And I'm not giving up any other picks.
No. I mean, you can have a 6th or 7th or something if that gets
I'll toss in our 7th because we get 3 picks out of it.
Yeah.
Let's see if they go for it. They accepted it.
That's the going rate.
So we got their 2, their 3, and next year's 3.
For our one
and 254, which was almost the last pick in the draft.
That's bad radio anyways.
Yeah. Saves us from having to do that. All right, so we're going to resume the draft. Let's see who the Giants took there with that pick. And we're back up at 42 here. But the Giants.
I mentioned a couple times, if they trade out at 24, I would bet it's someone looking for an edge. Or
actually,
maybe a tackle.
The Giants came up to take Trevon Moehrig.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're often mocked to the Jags, who. I can see that.
The Browns took Aziz Ojulari, to run you through the division here. And the Ravens take Travis Etienne.
That makes no sense at all. Well, I guess a little.
They use multiple backs.
They use multiple backs, and Ingram's gone. I can't see that happening.
Oh, and the Buccaneers took Najee Harris.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. We obviously, we're not on the we're back up on the clock here at 42.
Is Javonte still
there? That means
there?
Javonte Williams is still there. We got 5 trade offers now.
I don't know that I'm listening anymore.
Owosu-Koramara is still available.
Wow. When's our next pick, though?
55.
And this is?
42.
Cool.
Who's on? Let me see who's on the phone here. You got the Cowboys at 44.
Okay. That's not bad.
I mean, we could probably get something. They've got 44, 75, 99, 115. San Francisco's in between, though. San Francisco could be in the market for a running back.
They could. Javonte Williams isn't their style, but I don't know that that matters in this kind of software.
Yeah. We've also got Jacksonville's on the phone at 45.
Okay.
They could take a running back.
I might have to veto trades, though. I mean, how many times can we trade down?
We might just want to make the pick. Yeah.
I think you take Williams.
Yeah, I think that's just.
And you give it one of these, whoo. And you're happy about it.
We got an extra pick, and we sweated that out, but we got our guy. Javonte Williams is a pick.
Okay, done.
Done.
I'm cool with it.
And the Cowboys.
And now everything else I don't have to have.
The Cowboys did want to move up to get Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa.
Perfect sense, right.
Jalen Mayfield went to San Francisco. Jacksonville took instead of Lee McNeil. So.
Okay.
A couple of centers have now gone off the board.
That's where I'll be.
Landon Dickerson went at 48 to the Raiders. That makes a lot of sense.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Creed Humphrey went to Washington.
Makes sense, too.
Yeah. And so now we're back up. My favorite. How about this? This is guys rising quickly, at least on this board. Patrick Johnson from Tulane goes at 54.
Wow. Heating up. We used to get him in like the 5th round all the time.
Get him in the 7th round.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, no. That's crazy. But. Again, production matters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, the interior offensive lineman available. Quinn Miners.
He's going to be my favorite one.
Okay. Wyatt Davis, Kendrick Green.
They're good. Yeah. But I would rather have
Ben Cleveland, Aaron Banks, Josh Myers available, Michael Monet, Drake Jackson, David Moore's a guy that was he?
David Moore.
The guy from Grambling, wasn't he the guy that Lance mentioned?
Yeah, Lance did mention him. It'd be interesting, but I might use the second round pick on.
No, I'm just saying these are centers, the interior guys that are available. At the offensive tackle position, you're looking at Walker Little, Dylan Raddins, Liam Eichenberg.
I like all those guys.
Brady Christensen. I thought Brady Christensen, because he's at BYU, maybe was an overaged prospect.
He's not as old as you think.
He's only 23.
Yeah, which isn't bad for BYU.
That's not bad, right? Yeah. James Hudson, Some of those guys.
A lot of good ones.
Robert Hainsey still available. That's a guy that, that Lance mentioned could make the move to center.
To center. I hadn't thought about that angle with him before. Yeah. A good one.
Yeah, so there's some guys there.
If I'm taking an offensive lineman, I'm taking Miners still.
We should also take a look at the inside linebacker
position.
Without question.
There's going to be some good ones.
Yeah.
But we pick short soon again, right?
No, we got we have to go to 76 after this one.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is our regular second pick.
So you're looking at let me get rid of some of these other positions here.
Okay.
Miners
is my favorite name you've mentioned so far.
Jabril Cox.
Nice.
Jamin Davis.
Extremely nice. I think he'd take him.
Justin Hilliard, Monty Rice, Pete Werner, Chaz Surratt.
Davis is what
I think Jamin Davis stands out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if Owosu-Koramoah falls into the second round,
might not be
people aren't taking the inside linebackers.
That's fine.
And we can jump on Jamin Davis here. Absolutely.
I don't think that's cheating. You just grab him.
Yeah,
right.
Just take him. All right, he's a pick. Now we got to hope that one of those center prospects falls.
Yeah.
And there's
and
guys there.
If they don't, we can take a project in the fourth.
Yeah,
or, you know,
right.
There's some other game. It doesn't mean we're shut out.
Let's take a look and see.
Again, Miners would be the one that I'd run to the podium for. But
he's not available.
He's probably gone. Yeah.
But Kendrick Green is.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'd listen to some other positions, but I would not have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Be curious who the corners are.
Meyer's still available. Green's the highest-rated interior offensive lineman, period.
And I'm cool with that, yeah. I don't think we're going to dispute that.
Offensive tackles, you're looking at Christensen's the top-rated offensive tackle available. Then you're looking at guys like Deonte Smith, Robert Hainsey, Spencer Brown, Larry Broom, Borum, I should say.
None of those.
I don't think they don't.
League,
they don't have the guy from Florida on here.
He's kind of
sneaky.
Lance is the first one I've
Stone
heard mention that,
is who we're talking
and
about
now
there.
People are starting to catch on.
Yeah,
yeah. He may not have been on the early lists and things, and you know,
kind of like Miners. Miners wasn't on a lot of these lists early. No,
this guy's from Florida. He's not
this
from
guy's from
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Whitewater.
He's a 6'8" offensive
tackle,
left
right,
tackle
right.
At Florida.
Yeah,
you know. You would think would be there.
But sometimes people, you know, if they're not on a big list and you're just watching Pitts and Tony going, this tackle's pretty good too. I mean, I got to watch him.
Yeah, the Panthers want to make a trade here to come up, but their next pick is at 113. We're not interested in that.
I'd be in corners.
We could take a look at the cornerback position. You're looking at Javon Holland, Tay Gowan, Melifuanu from Syracuse.
These are just defensive backs.
Stokes. From Georgia, Thomas Graham, Kelvin Joseph, Benjamin St. Juth, Rashad Wildgoose, Trey Brown. There's a lot of guys there. Ambry Thomas.
Joseph and Stokes.
Rodarius Williams.
Joseph and Stokes are highly desirable to me. I mean, they're more testers than players at this point, but there's a lot to work with, and I don't need that guy to play right this minute.
Boy, but I need a center.
I know, and Green's my favorite one out there. I just think I'd have a much higher grade on Stokes.
Remember, we got another pick coming at 87.
And I guess there's two of them. And Melifonwu wouldn't be the worst pick in the world either.
Right. So, you have some...
Let's grab Green.
You have some fallback options there. Green may end up being a starter for you right away.
We may have got three starters.
We may have gotten three starters there if we take Green.
I like it.
Yeah, let's take him. And we're back up at 87.
And I would really look at corner here, but I think tackles are also something to consider.
You know, Stokes is still available.
I would take Stokes.
Thomas Graham, Kelvin Joseph.
I'd take Joseph.
Molden is still there. They list him as a safety, though.
Molden versus those two is interesting.
Yeah, because Molden's a slot.
Right. You know, he would.
So is, for that matter, Jamar Johnson, the safety out of Indiana.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. I was looking at this last night. If you go to Pro Football Focus, this is a nice little feature that they have on there.
The alignments and stuff that they have.
The alignments. Place, yeah. So in 2019, he saw the majority of his snaps in the slot.
In the slot.
Last year, he played 17 snaps at the defensive line, likely as a blitzer.
Yeah, probably just walked up on the line of scrimmage.
93 in the slot. 6 at cornerback.
Outside. Yeah.
124 in the box.
Okay. Probably like a strong safety position.
And 236 deep.
He's a really good player.
So you can kind of move him wherever you need to put him, but he has a lot of slot experience. His majority of his snaps.
He's bigger than Molden.
Yeah, 232 snaps in the slot in 2019, only 47 in the box and 3 deep. Like, he was their primary slot guy.
Yeah. That's interesting. There's a lot of guys there I like. I don't know. Molden versus Johnson, I think.
Here's the other nice thing.
I might have a hard time passing on Joseph and Stokes, though. I know Sutton can play this lot.
Johnson last year, according to Pro Football Focus, he was targeted 23 times, gave up 11 completions.
Wow.
He had allowed no touchdowns.
He's really good.
And had 4 interceptions.
I mean, we have the NFL Network on, and just 5 minutes ago they highlighted him, and he was second on someone's safety board. Like, he's a really good player that seems to be getting late buzz.
6'1", 197 pounds, so he's got decent size. But, he can play the slot.
Do we know that Edmonds is going to be in the long-term plans? Maybe not.
Three
safeties is not a bad way to play football, period. I don't have a problem with that since we traded down, and that's kind of a bonus prize.
It is a bonus prize.
Right.
And he can be your slot right away. You might have just gotten your 4th starter in this draft.
Yeah.
Whereas if you draft one of these other developmental cornerbacks who are, he tested really well, but he's not quite a finished product.
See, that we could get in the 5th round still, though. We
don't want
to be shut out with corners. We could look at a guy to groom as Hayden's replacement or lane insurance. I'm fine with Johnson as a bonus prize.
And I think
if we hadn't traded down.
Molden's that same kind of guy. It just depends on which one you like more. I mean, Molden's got more corner. He doesn't run as well. That's the problem.
That's what I was about to say is if we had this conversation before pro days, I'd say Molden. And I don't want to be too influenced by that, especially this year. But that's also selling Johnson short. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, the tape was there. And
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I'm looking up his pro.
He'd just be a welcome addition to your defensive backfield in general.
Yeah, you could find ways to use that guy.
I mean, he can blitz, play deep for you.
Yeah, I mean, actually, he measured in at 6'2", 205 at their pro day.
I'm saying he's way bigger than Molden.
Yeah,
you convinced me. I'm cool with it.
Ran a 4.58, which isn't blazing, but it's fast enough.
That's fast enough.
Yeah, he's faster than.
Do you have his recon or his shuttle by chance?
His shuttle was 4.41, not super great.
Not super great, right?
Yeah, but 35-inch vertical
from the slot.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Let me see what Molden. Molden was 5'9", 192.
Mm-hmm. Just for fun, pull
his
up Joseph.
40 was 4.62.
I think I'm taking him over Molden.
Okay.
But just for fun, pull up Joseph and Stokes' numbers. For those that aren't aware, because they're a little jaw-dropping, if you don't mind.
I got to find Kentucky here first.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Kelvin Joseph, 5'11", 197, ran a 4.28 40. But he didn't do the rest of it.
And that's like with Stokes is almost identical. Like, there's some stuff there for those guys.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't know that they're as good as football. I mean, they're better testers than players at this point.
Yeah. Eric Stokes, 6 foot, 194, ran a 4.34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sprinters.
And a 39-inch vertical.
There's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
Let's take Johnson.
I think Johnson's ball production is
he's a good player.
4 interceptions last year. The Steelers have valued guys that can catch the football.
There's a lot of value to that.
Yeah. All right, he's the pick. Jamar Johnson.
And what if Minka or Edmonds gets hurt? He may be your deep middle or he may be your
safety. He could be your guy there. We're back up at 128. Some of the guys available, Jamie and Sherwood, Tay Gowan's still there.
Yeah. Safeties are done, though.
The safeties are done. Josh Palmer, Odighizuwa, Milton Williams, Cade Johnson, Jalen Darden, Kelvin Joseph, still available.
I'd take him.
Brady Christensen's still available.
I'd take Joseph. Although Melvin Williams is kind of interesting,
too. How about this? We're at 128. Michael Carter's still available.
Not bad. Bring the teammates together. Room them together. You know, I love the room together.
Benjamin St. Juice still available.
Interesting.
But
you take Joseph.
There's some guys there. Devon Diablo.
We can't take another safety, but I like him.
But he could be your linebacker.
Yeah.
Tommy Tremble.
He's a linebacker, too.
Tommy Tremble still available. I've seen some people now bumping him up to their number 2 tight end.
Phew, that's rare. I can't take him over Freiermuth, but I get it.
Yeah. Again, the injury stuff is concerning.
Tremble would be a nice addition. What about Williams, though, from Louisiana Tech? Melvin Williams?
he would be a nice pick too.
Right.
I mean, there's some good value picks here in this with this.
That's the beauty of the trade down to me is you can take a value here and there.
This would be our fifth pick.
I mean, to me, this is how I want the draft to go, whether it's these names or not. If you can trade down, still get a back and a center early, then you're in this position on day two, day three, where you're like, boy, I didn't really need a D lineman, but Milton Williams is there. I'm going to take him. You know, I mean, that's if you can set yourself up to be here, that's how you have a great draft.
The offensive tackle position, it's Brady Christensen, Deontay Smith, Robert Hainsey, Spencer Brown, Larry Broom. It's running thin.
It is. Brown and Christensen would be my two favorites there. I'm looking for ceiling.
The cornerback position, you're looking at it's
well, we talked about Joseph. Yeah, there was a lot of them, but we
Joseph,
just
St. Jude, Rashad Wild Goose, Trey Brown's still available. Ambry Thomas, who's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Trill Williams still available. Robert Rochelle still available.
I think I'm leaning
Shakir
towards
Brown,
Trimble.
Kerry Vincent.
Some good crew
some
there.
Good guys there.
But there will be next pick.
There will we pick again at 140. At the tight end position, you're looking at.
Is like Hunter Long still available?
Let's see here. No, he's gone. Tremble is the top rated guy. Then you're looking at Tony Poljan, John Bates, Kyle Granson, Trey McKitty, Nick Eubanks.
This is our last chance at a tight end for me that could be a difference maker. Let's do it.
Okay. Tommy Tremble is the pick. Let's see what comes up at 140.
We also haven't looked at edge.
We haven't looked at edge yet, and this is a good area to do it.
It is.
Let's see what's available there. You're looking at Josh Kando. I don't know that he really fits.
Yeah, wouldn't be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Malcolm, that other guy from Florida State I like a lot, too.
Malcolm Kuntz, though, I like.
Yeah.
Nice player. Chauncey Golston, Janarius Robinson. That's the other one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cooper, Charles Snowden, Patrick Jones, Ellerson Smith.
Florida State is like Michigan, where all these highly athletic top recruits go, and they're never used right. They don't get developed.
Yeah.
I think you'd jump on somebody like that. Robinson, to me, is very intriguing.
He is. I other than Lawrence Timmons, that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other edge rushers that I've seen from Florida State that haven't necessarily.
I know. Don't scout the helmet. I'm not saying he's my pick, but I wouldn't mind adding him at all.
I like Kuntz over those guys.
Do you? Okay.
He bends.
Would you take him over the corners?
Well, we haven't looked at the corners. Let's see who's available there. Kelvin Joseph is still available.
Now I feel like that's cheating.
Well, they have him ranked 85th on their board, and we're at 140. So,
okay.
I mean, a lot of other corners went, so you're getting some value there. St. Jude's still available. Wild Goose, Trey Brown, Trill Williams.
I like taking the edge here, where it's earlier than we usually do.
Yeah, because we're not going to get another pick till 216.
Mm-hmm. We already have a defensive back. Let's take the edge. Kuntz is fine.
Rusty Kuntz. Where's he at?
I do prefer Williams, but Kuntz is a good player. Edge is a situation I wouldn't mind signing a veteran.
Yeah.
But
they like their Mac guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, take them.
They'll know more about that guy than anybody else.
They'll be on them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're cruising along here to 216. And we are up.
We haven't taken a tackle.
We did not take a tackle.
A true corner wouldn't break my heart.
At this
either.
Point, I don't know that we're going to take
a
true tackle.
We might have lost that battle.
So, cornerback, you're looking at Wild Goose, Shakir Brown, Mark Gilbert, Nashawn Wright, Darren Hall, Zach McPherson, Brian Mills, Josh Bledsoe.
What about Shakir Brown? Or Wild Goose?
Darren Hall's not too bad, too.
No,
There's some guys there. We filled pretty much all the needs. I don't know what do they list here as their number one guy. Their number one guy available is Wild Goose.
I think you do that.
They got him rated 98th overall.
Really? What's his dimensions again?
He's a smaller corner. He's 5'11", 197.
Okay.
But that's big enough to play outside.
Nah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Because I like the Johnson pick, but I felt like we might not have saved it, you know, might not have solved our corner situation.
Right.
I'm happy to really add another one that's a corner.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah, take
Wild Goose is the pick.
Plus, it makes it fun for training camp. I'm
Wild Goose.
A joke or two. Yeah. Right, yeah.
The goose is loose. And we're up here at 245. And how about this one? The top-rated guy on the board here, Ramondre Stevenson.
I like it.
I don't hate it.
I mean, see you, Benny.
Said we would have considered him in the fourth round. Yeah. If we got shut out.
It's not terrible.
Janarius Robinson also available.
Is he?
Michael Manet still available.
That wouldn't be bad to add to the mix.
Yeah. Patrick Jones, John Bates, Puka Williams. You could take a little bit different kind of back, but you already have that. Javian Hawkins, another little guy.
Yeah.
David Moore still available.
The big that would be
the big guy out of Grambling. Elijah Mitchell still available.
Yeah. I kind of like taking one of the offensive linemen you mentioned there. Curious. I don't think it's a huge need, but is there a nose?
Just looking at that, I was just going to say.
Really?
The top three guys available, this guy's not going to fit. Brian Goodson, he's 5'10".
Yeah.
That's not going to work. But Quentin Bohannon, Mustafa Johnson.
Yeah.
Guys you can line up there. Taequann Graham out of Texas. They did okay the last time I took that. Felipe Franks there. Take the athlete.
Just see what happens
with him. See what happens with him.
Nah, I'm not into that project. My quarterback coach has other things to do.
Yeah. Let's just take a look at the tackles just to see what it looks like here. Well, when we had Lance Zierlein on earlier, he mentioned John Ball.
Yeah.
At a Marshall and said there was some off-the-field stuff with him.
It's hard for us to comment on that, but
there's talent there. There's definitely talent there. Jalen Moore out of Western Michigan also.
I like him too.
Seventh round.
I'm taking one of those two.
I think you just take Jalen Moore and you say, okay.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
Again, another Mac guy that
fine.
You know more about him than anybody else, I guarantee.
No question about it.
Yeah.
We didn't really take a project tackle.
There he is.
He's better than I would have expected this late.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Sixth rounder, right?
We traded. That was our first. We got two sevenths.
Oh, okay.
That was our first seventh round pick. Okay, so here's our grade on that. We got the trade we made with the Giants. Only got a B.
We got their third next year.
Maybe we should have gone for the second.
I guess because we took a running back.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
Well, at 42, we took Javonte Williams. That got us a C.
Of course.
Jamin Davis got us a C+. Kendrick Green got us a C+. All of our picks got a C+ until we took Jalen Moore at 245, got us a B+.
Okay.
Overall, we got a B.
I'm not real concerned about the grades.
No, I'm not either, but we came out with a pretty good haul.
Oh,
Javonte Williams at 42.
Yep.
Jamin Davis at 55. Kendrick Green at 76. That's Jamar
nice
Johnson at 87. That's a nice foresome.
Yeah.
Tommy Tremble at 128.
Those four should play.
Yeah. Well, so will Tommy Tremble at 128.
Yeah. Green's the one that might not of the group, but, hope.
Malcolm Kuntz then at 140 gives us a little edge depth. Rashad Wild Goose at 216 gives
nice
us some
pick.
Corner depth. And then Jalen Moore, the offensive tackle out of Western Michigan, gives us that developmental tackle that we can throw into the mix.
Yeah, right. No, I like it.
I think we helped our run game.
Without question.
We got faster on defense.
Right.
Yeah.
Without question.
No doubt.
We have some more versatile pieces on defense, too, with Johnson.
Johnson gives you a guy that can play any of your safety positions and also drop down and play the slot for you. That means you don't have to bump Cam Sutton in, which I think is going to be a major –
be something to watch a
that
lot.
It's something that I think going into the draft that they're going to want to do. You can't just have one slot guy.
Because if he gets hurt, you're hurt at two positions.
Because now you're going to have to move Minkah Fitzpatrick into the slot.
That's not what you want.
And that's not what you want to do.
So you believe if it comes down to taking a corner and it's slot versus outside.
He better have some slot ability.
You think that slot's going to win that tiebreaker?
I think so.
Just because there's not another one.
They don't have another one, yeah.
Right.
I mean, maybe they have somebody in the roster who they think can do it. I don't know. I haven't looked enough into some of these, late signings
and
stuff.
And I know Sutton can bounce inside, but wouldn't you prefer – I mean, they've had two guys that just they leave on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're happy doing it, and it makes their life a little easier for Sutton then.
Right.
You're the outside corner, like Nelson was.
Yeah, you just stay out there, be that guy. Mm-hmm. If our slot gets hurt, then we can bump you inside and do that.
And we've mentioned this many times, but oh, by the way, they might really like Justin Lane.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did draft him in the third round 2 years ago.
He can get better. That's allowed.
It is permitted.
I like that draft a lot, though.
Yeah, no, I think we touched on. I mean, getting Jamin Davis in the second round was a steal.
I've said it over and over that if you can trade down, get stuff, and still go running back center with the guys on our list, and when you're top two or three picks,
yeah,
it's dynamite.
Now, ideally, if you want to get that slot cornerback or slot guy that can play the slot, to me the real luxury pick here was Tremble.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have to. I mean, we could have gone with a tackle there. We could have taken Christensen or someone of that and gotten a higher rated tackle.
The other thing that could have happened, we never trade up because it's hard to do in these situations too. But if you trade back to, 42 and ATN and Harris go, well, then you use that Tremble pick and move up five more spots and make sure you get Williams.
You got to make sure you get him. Yeah.
You know, with your fingers crossed, you just make sure you go get him.
Yep.
I mean, I would have no problem with that either.
Yeah, but I think it makes them a better team.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. If they came out of the draft without moving and got those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be really happy about it.
I mean, if you told me they took Jamin Davis in the first round, got Devontae Williams in the second, Kendrick Green in the third, I would say that's very possible.
That's a good haul.
Yeah. Right.
But, again, we got the bonus prize of getting Jamar Johnson there.
That was in the third round pick next
year. And then, in a third next year. So.
I don't think the Giants win the Super Bowl.
No. Anyways, that's going to do it for this show. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, we want to thank you. I'm Dale Lally.
Everyone have a great weekend.
Everybody have a great weekend. Again, less than 3 weeks out from the draft. Yeah, can't wait. But thanks for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.